We're just delighted that Elder Ernest Castillo, Vice President of the North American Division of Seventh-day Adventists, is with us today. Part of his responsibility is refugee ministry. Do we know anything about that here? Yeah, a little bit, huh? And so we wanted him to come and experience what refugee ministry is all about and what a wonderful church is all about. We just welcome you, Elder Castillo, this morning. Come and may God speak to us.
Thank you, Pastor James, for those kind words. And friends, it's a real privilege for me to be here this morning to participate of this worship service with you folks. I had heard a lot about this church, but I hadn't really had the privilege and opportunity to visit this church. As I come here and to witness, to see what God is doing here at our Paradise Valley Seventh-day Adventist Church, all I can say is praise God, from whom all blessings flow. We are one big family, one big family. I notice a clock back there. Every church I go to, they put a clock where the preacher can see it. So I see it back there. Now, you know, in many churches where I preach at, every now and then, I will see some individuals with their eyes closed. Now, friends, listen, if you happen to close your eyes, I will not be offended. I'm just going to think that you're praying for me. The only favor I ask is don't make the prayer too long. Let's bow our heads as we pray. Dear God, this morning as we study your word, we just want to thank you, O God, because we know that you're here with us through your Holy Spirit. And dear Lord, bless us as we study your word this morning. Keep us. May we feel the presence of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, O God, for listening to us. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, friends, I notice that many of us get a little edgy because when it gets close to 12 o'clock, we wonder when the preacher is going to finish. All I'm requesting is give me till about 12:15, 12:20. Is that all right? Thank you for that strong amen. I appreciate that very much. The 11th hour worker. I don't know if you can see this. My secretary probably didn't make it large enough. Just want to briefly show you, as one of the vice presidents of the North American Division, these are the different language groups that are directly under my office. We have here, of course, the Hispanics, which is the largest, almost 210,000. We have the Asian Pacific group, which is close to 100,000. We have the Haitian group, which is about 50,000. We have the Korean ministries, which is about 12,000, a little over the 12,000. And we have the Portuguese, which is close to 6,000 members. This is all around the North American Division. And you might be wondering, well, when we talk about the North American Division, what are we talking, what are we referring to? We're talking about all the United States. We're talking about Canada. We're talking about Bermuda. We're talking about Hawaii, the Hawaiian Islands. We're also talking about Guam and the Micronesia Islands. All that vast territory across the Pacific, including Bermuda and the Atlantic, all that area comprises the North American Division. And then we have, of course, the Adventist Refugee Immigrant Ministries, which is a growing ministry, and it's growing here in this church. We have right now in the North American Division close to 4,000 individuals here in North America. And then we have the Romanian ministries, a little over 1,000 members here in North America. Then we have the Jewish ministries. It's a small ministry. It's about a little over 700 members. And then we have the Zimbabwean ministries, close to 700 members. And then we have the different Euro languages ministries, for example, the Hungarian, Yugoslavian, Russian, which is a little over 500 members. And then we have the Greek ministries, which is right around 300 members. And then we have the Muslim ministries, which is basically, we don't talk too much about the Muslim ministries. They don't keep record of their membership for the simple reason, friends, it's a very sensitive issue still, and you know what I'm talking about, especially here in this country. But in total, all these ministry groups is about 400,000 members, Seventh-day Adventist church members here in North America. Can you say amen to that? Now, my brothers and sisters, these members right here, all these groupings right here, the Spanish, the Asians, the Haitians, the Koreans, and so forth, all these individuals make up about one-third of the total membership of the North American division. About one-third. What am I saying? What I'm saying is that out of all the 1.1 million church members we have in North America, one-third of those members comprise and will come from one of these groupings right here. Amen? And in fact, I don't have it on the screen here, but in fact, you look at all these ministries, these different groups right here. Last year in 2012, all these different groups right here baptized about 60% of all the baptisms that were held in the North American division. Praise God. Now, you might be asking yourselves, I can't take much time here, you might be asking yourselves, why are all these immigrant refugee groups growing so fast in North America? Why? That's a question. Why are these groups growing so fast, so rapidly? I mean, friends, to have about almost 60%, that's almost two-thirds, out of all the baptisms that were held last year in 2012, coming from all those groups that I just showed you, why are these groups growing so fast? Let me study very quickly with you a parable found here in the book of Matthew chapter 20. We find a parable in the book Matthew chapter 20, a parable that Jesus Christ gave to his disciples, which I hope as we understand and study and unpackage this parable, I hope we understand what Jesus Christ is trying to tell us in 2013. Now, I'm not going to take time to read all the verses. You can mark it down in your bulletin, and then when you get home, you can read the full chapter, Matthew chapter 20. Let me read and sort of paraphrase this parable for you. This parable is about Jesus Christ is comparing the kingdom of heaven to what? We find here in the parable, for the kingdom of heaven is like a what? It's like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men or hire laborers to work in his vineyard. Now, try to picture this in your mind. Jesus Christ is giving a parable. He's given a story. And the parable, the story, is he's comparing the kingdom of heaven to a landowner. Now, what did this landowner do? The Bible says that this landowner owned a large piece of property, the parable says. And what did this landowner do? The parable says that this landowner went out early in the morning, and what did he do? He hired some laborers, some workers, to what? To go out and work in his vineyard. Now, let's go to verse 2. This landowner agreed to pay all the workers how much? One denarius. You know how much one denarius is equivalent to our money today? About one penny. That's what the workers agreed. That's what the landowner agreed to pay them, and that's what they agreed to accept, to be paid. One penny a day to work. Now, we have to understand, too, for the Jewish, and we have to understand this parable is given in Jewish terms. This parable, the day started for the Jews at 6 in the morning, and it finished, the day finished at 6 in the evening. So it was from 6 in the morning to 6 in the evening. And these individuals, these workers, agreed to work one full day for how much? One penny. Equivalent, one denarius equivalent to one penny. Verse 3. But again about the third hour, he went out, and what did he do? He saw others just standing around, not doing anything. And the landowner asked them, would you like to work? They said, yes. So he hired workers at the third hour. What would the third hour be? That'd be at 9 o'clock in the morning. You understand what's happening here? And then, verse 4, he told them, you also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right. So they went. Verse 5, the landowner went out again at what hour? The sixth hour, which would be what? About 12 noon. And he saw some people standing around. He said, would you like to work? They said, yes. So they agreed to work for one denarius, one penny, for those 6 hours, from 12 noon until 6 in the evening. Now, friends, do you see what's going on? This landowner apparently had a large area to be worked. He hired some in the morning at 6 in the morning. They worked. Apparently, they didn't finish the job, so what did he do? This landowner hired others at 9 o'clock in the morning. They started working. Apparently, the work wasn't finished either by 12 noon, so what happened? The landowner hired other individuals at 12 o'clock noon. They all started working, and they all agreed to be paid one denarius, equivalent to one penny. But then what happened, friends? Go to verse 6. About the 11th hour, he went out and found still others standing around, and he asked, why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing? And they answered there in verse 7. Read it with me. Because no one has hired us, they answered. And he said to them, you also go and work in my vineyard. Now, the 11th hour would be what time? 5 o'clock in the afternoon. You see what's happening, friends? Those who started to work at 6 in the morning, those who started to work at 9 in the morning, those who started to work at 12 noon, apparently had not finished the work. So the Bible says in this parable in verse 6, about the 11th hour, which would be at 5 in the afternoon, this landowner goes and finds people there not doing anything. He says, would you folks like to work? They says, yes, we'd like to work. And they agreed to work for one denarius, equivalent to one penny. They agreed to work for that amount for 1 hour. 1 hour. Now, friends, I won't take time now, but you read the rest of the passage, and the Bible says very clearly here, verse 8, read verse 8 with me very quickly. When the evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the workers, pay them their wages, beginning with who? The last ones hired, and going on down to the first. So, friends, it's interesting in this parable to see that those who were hired at the 11th hour, the Bible says, were paid first. And then those who were hired in the morning at 6 in the morning, according to the parable, were paid last. And when you go home, you read the rest of the chapter. The Bible says that those who started at 6 in the morning, when they heard that they were going to get paid last, they began to complain. Well, who wouldn't complain, friends? You understand? The parable is no different. They began complaining, those who started working at 6, at 9 in the morning, because they were going to get paid last. But the rest of the parable tells us very clearly, the landlord told them, now listen, this is my land, this is my property. I can pay as much as I want, and I can pay when I want. Now, what does all this mean? Who are these 11th hour workers, according to Matthew chapter 20? Who are these 11th hour workers? You can read the rest of the story when you get home this afternoon. There are five quotations that I'd like to review with you very quickly, briefly, this morning. They're found in different articles and books from my favorite author. My favorite author, who wrote many, many books and many, many articles, she more or less explains to us and clarifies to us who these 11th hour workers are. Because you might be asking, yourself. Who are these 11th hour workers? Well, my favorite author clarifies this for us. The first quotation is found here in a magazine entitled The Review and Herald, June 15, 1897. I want you to read this with me all together, and read it out loud like if you've had good breakfast this morning, okay? Everyone together. Here we go. There are diligent students of the word of prophecy in all parts of the world who are obtaining light and still greater light from searching the scriptures. This is true of all the nations, of all the tribes, of all the peoples. These will come from the grossest error and will take the place of those who have had opportunities and privileges and have not prized them. Who are the 11th hour workers, my friends? She's writing about the 11th hour workers. Who are these 11th hour workers? She says very clearly that these 11th hour workers are going to come from every nation, every tribe, every kindred, every tongue, and every people. Why, my friends? Why? Because you and I have not finished the work God gave us to do. It's amazing, my friends. I have been in the ministry almost 40 years. When I started in God's work, in fact, I did start here in San Diego. I never thought that we'd come to the year 2013. Never did I imagine that we'd still be in this old world. I thought for sure Jesus Christ would have come already. And this parable tells us about these 11th hour workers. This inspired writer, my favorite author, tells us that these 11th hour workers are going to be coming in from every nation, every tribe, every kindred, every tongue, and every people. No wonder our refugee immigrant ministries are growing around the world, especially here in the North American division. God wants his work finished, my friends. I don't think you heard me. God wants his work finished, my friends. And we have not finished his work. He's a landowner. And he's hired some at 6 in the morning. He's hired others at 9 o'clock in the morning. The work still hasn't finished. He's hired others at 12 noon. The work still is not finished. He's hired some 3 in the afternoon. The work is still not finished. The Bible says that he's hired 11th hour workers to help finish his work. Because, friends, Jesus wants us to go home. Amen? Why are, I believe, our refugee immigrant ministries growing around the world? I believe, friends, that many of these individuals are 11th hour workers that God is calling in from different nations and tribes and tongues and people to help us finish his work, because it's his work. It's not my work. It's not my work. It's not Pastor James' work. It's God's work. Now, friends, let me tell you something. I've been to countries in Africa. I have visited Ghana, and I have seen how God is bringing people in, accepting the Seventh-day Adventist message. They're accepting the gospel of Jesus Christ. I've been to the country of Kenya, and I've seen how God is calling individuals and bringing them in, accepting the gospel, the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ. I've been out to the Philippines. I've seen, by the way, it's hot and humid out there, but I've seen how, and I've preached out there, but I've seen how God is bringing them in the Philippines. I mean, thousands, my friends, are accepting the gospel of Jesus Christ out in the Philippines. I've been to the country of Mexico. I've preached there in Mexico City. And I see how hundreds are coming in accepting the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ. I've been to the country of Salvador in Central America. And I've seen how people accept the message of Jesus Christ. Jesus is bringing them in, my friends. I've been down to South America, the country of Brazil. Oh, my friends, if you want to see an evangelistic explosion, take a visit sometime down to the country of Brazil. God is calling them in. He's bringing them in. I've been out to the Caribbean islands, Aruba and some of those other islands. And my friends, I tell you, it is amazing. It's amazing how God is bringing his children in, accepting the everlasting gospel in those places. Just got back about 2 months ago from the country of Romania. Any Romanians here? Yes, praise God. Beautiful country, my friends. Beautiful country. And the food is delicioso. Oh, my friends, I preached out in Romania just a couple of months ago. It's amazing how God is bringing his children in. And people are accepting the everlasting gospel out in the country, Romania. You see, my friends, that's what this inspired writer tells us. That these 11th hour workers, God is going to bring them in from the grossest of Aaron, from every nation, every tribe, and every people. God is doing that. He's bringing them in. They're the 11th hour workers. And God is calling them in to help us finish this work. But then she says here that they will come from the grossest of air. Do you realize, my friends? Do you realize? In New York City, there are Buddhists accepting the everlasting gospel, becoming part of God's remnant church. Out in Toronto, there's Hindus accepting the everlasting gospel and being part of the Adventist family. Praise God for that, my friends. Do you realize? I know it's being recorded, so I need to be careful. But do you realize there are Muslims? We don't say too much publicly about this, but there are Muslims, my friends, accepting the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you realize, listen carefully what I'm going to say, do you realize there's Muslims today who are having dreams? Did you hear what I said? They're having dreams, my friends. And the message of the dreams is, the message of the dreams are, accept the Seventh-day Adventist Church because they are the people of the book. That's the message of the dreams. Oh, my friends, God is working in a mighty and marvelous way. God's bringing them in. But the inspired writing says that they would come in from the grossest of errors. And then the last part of this text here says, God will not be left without witnesses. No, my friends. This is God's church. Listen carefully what I'm saying. This is God's church. It's not my church. This is God's church. Belongs to God. God will make sure that his church will never be left without witnesses. During the time of the flood, when God needed someone to preach a message, God chose a man called Noah. Noah preached the message. During the time of Israel, when God wanted Israel taken out of the land of Egypt, God chose a man whose name was Moses. God used Moses to lead the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. When God needed a young lady to protect the Israelites, God chose a young lady by the name of Esther. No, my friends, every time you read down through the Old Testament, through the New Testament, every time God needed an individual, God always chose somebody. Why? Because this is God's work. It's not my work. This belongs to God. And my inspired author, my favorite inspired author, says that God will never be left without witnesses. And you can even study during the mid-1800s. God chose a young man by the name of William Miller. You heard of William Miller? When God wanted a message preached, God chose a young man by the name of William Miller to preach the gospel of the second advent. God chose him because God will never be left without witnesses. God chose Manuel Lacunza to preach that same message of the second advent out there in South America. And Manuel Lacunza preached that message, my friends. God chose a man by the name of William Carey to preach that same message of the second advent out there in Europe, in the country of England. You see, my friends, God will never be left without witnesses in his church. And if you don't want to preach this message, that's all right. But God will never be left without witnesses. God has somebody, and God has chosen you. And you, God has chosen each one of us to preach this everlasting gospel. But if you and I do not want to preach the everlasting gospel, God has somebody who's even going to choose. You understand what I'm saying, my friends? Now, my friends, these one-hour labors, read it with me all together. These one-hour labors will be brought in at the 11th hour and will consecrate their ability and all their entrusted means to advance God's word. These 11th hour workers will be brought in at the 11th hour, but they're going to dedicate abilities. They're going to dedicate everything to God, give everything to God, so his message can be finished. The second quotation I want to read from my favorite author, it's found in The Youth Instructor, February 13, 1902. Read it with me all together. At the 11th hour, the Lord will call into his service many faithful workers. Self-sacrificing men and women will step into the places made vacant by what? Apostasy and death. Oh, my friends, I look around everywhere I go, especially where I've pastored. And I've noticed that years ago when I started in ministry, when I go back to those places to visit, there are individuals who are not there anymore. They've either passed, the Lord has laid them to their rest, or they have apostatized. They've left the church. And I began asking myself the question, why? But friends, never forget what I'm going to say right now. This is God's church. God will make sure that his church will not be left without witnesses. God will replace those individuals who have left his church by apostasy. God's going to replace them with these 11th hour workers. And if by chance God calls an individual to lay down his life to rest until the resurrection day, friends, God will replace those individuals. According to what inspiration tells us, God will replace these individuals by 11th hour workers. Let's continue. Selected Messages, Book 2. Read it with me all together. But I speak not my own words when I say that God's Spirit will pass by those who have had their day of test and opportunity, but who have not distinguished the voice of God or appreciated the movings of His Spirit. Then thousands, in what hour? In the 11th hour, will see and acknowledge the truth. These conversions to the truth will be made with a rapidity that will surprise the church, and God's name alone will be glorified. Oh, my brothers and sisters, you see, she says that God's church is going to grow very, very rapidly. Very rapidly. And the church is going to grow with the 11th hour workers. And the church will grow so fast, so rapidly, that many in the church will be surprised that the church is growing so rapidly. Now, let me tell you something. Listen carefully what I'm going to say. I've pastored churches. I know what it is to pastor a church. I've pastored large churches and I've pastored small churches. But in many of the churches where I've pastored, and my friend up there in the mic, give it a little more volume because I don't want too many praying people here today, right now while I'm preaching. So give me a little more volume, my friend. But my friends, I've pastored large churches and I've pastored small churches. But in every church that I've pastored, and I'm sure this is the same for all churches, in many of our churches, we have individuals who think they are the caciques. Now, somebody help me with the translation here. What's the word translated word for cacique in English? Help me. The chief. There you go. Thank you. We have many in our churches today who think that they are the chiefs of the church. You understand what I'm saying? Now, friends, I'm going to turn around because I don't want no one saying, "Ooh, when he said that, he looked at me. Did you see that?" No. I'm going to turn around so no one will go out of this church saying, "Yeah, he looked at me when he said that." Friends, let me tell you something. If you think that you are a chief in the church, forget it. This is God's church. This is not your church. This is God's church. And this inspired writer says that these conversions from these 11th hour workers will take place so rapidly that the church will be surprised. But God's name alone will be glorified. Why? Because God is bringing him into the church. You want to know why the refugee immigrant ministries are growing so fast? God's bringing him into the church as 11th hour workers, my friends. But why is he bringing them in? Why is he bringing them in? God wants his work finished. We've been in this world too long. And my friends, and permit me to say it in Spanish, mis hermanos, my brothers and sisters, it's time to go home, my friends. We've been here too long. And this church is going to grow. And I'm talking about the Seventh-day Adventist Church in general. It's going to grow very, very rapidly. And it is growing very rapidly. But God is bringing these 11th-hour workers in from every nation, every tribe, every tongue, and every people. Why? Because God wants his work finished. And we haven't finished it, my friends. What a shame. We haven't finished the work that God's given us to do. So God is bringing these 11th-hour workers in to help us finish the work. Fourth quotation. Can you give me about 5 more minutes, friends? 5 more minutes. Read this very important quotation with me. Many souls will come from other denominational churches, and at the 11th hour, they'll obey the truth. Now, my friends, this inspired writer tells us very clearly here that these 11th hour workers are going to be coming in from many, many denominational churches. In Selected Messages, Book 3, this inspired writer tells us altogether, God has children, many of them where? In the Protestant churches, and a large number in the Catholic churches, who are more true to obey the light and to do the very best of their knowledge than a large number among Sabbath-keeping Adventists who do not walk in the light. Ouch. Ouch. That hurts, my friends. God's going to be bringing the 11th-hour workers in from many Protestant denominations, including the Roman Catholic Church. I wish I had time to tell you this morning about stories of churches I've been to where individuals, I know they've come from other denominations, but today they are true Seventh-day Adventist church members. Praise God for that. Now, my friends, we have to understand that these 11th-hour workers, they're going to be coming in from the Pentecostal church. So don't you be surprised. Listen carefully. Don't you be surprised when you have individuals in the church raising their hands saying, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It could be a Pentecostal church who's accepted the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ in the Seventh-day Adventist message. Be patient with those individuals. They'll accept the everlasting gospel. They'll accept the Seventh-day Adventist message. But they'll no doubt they'll come with the tendencies that they've had from the other churches. Be patient. Be loving to those individuals, my friends. They could be 11th-hour workers that God has been bringing in and brought in from these Protestant denominations. She says, the inspired writer says, they'll even come in from the Roman Catholic Church. So if you find former ex-Roman Catholic individuals, be patient, be loving with these individuals. I was at a church one day in Toronto, Canada. A lady came in. I don't know why she knew I was a pastor, but maybe because I was dressed in a dark suit and so forth. But she came in. She sat right in front of me. It was during Sabbath school time, and she knelt down. Well, that's a Roman Catholic custom. You go into the church, you kneel down. You pray. Well, she came and she knelt down. Well, the Sabbath school director was talking. When she got up, I knew she was a church member, but I just, out of curiosity, I said, sister, what church were you from before you became a Seventh-day Adventist? She turns around, she says, Pastor, and again, I don't know why she knew I was a pastor, but she says, Pastor, I was a Roman Catholic, but I'm a Seventh-day Adventist today. You see, she's come in with the same tendency she brought from the other church, but today she's a God-fearing, God-loving Seventh-day Adventist church member. Praise God, my friends. I thought, no, this lady's an 11th-hour worker. God is bringing them in, my friends. God is bringing them in. Let me read the last quotation here found in Christian Service, page 67. Read it with me all together. It is not the Lord's purpose that ministers should be left to do the greatest part of the work of sowing the seeds of truth. Men who are not called to the ministry are to be encouraged to labor for the master according to their several ability. And then we finalize with this all together. Hundreds of men and women, now what? Now idle, not doing anything, could do acceptable service. My friends, never expect that this work only belongs to the pastor of the church. This work, this ministry belongs to each one of us in the church. And if you don't want to preach the everlasting gospel, that's all right. God will make sure that the churches, the voices will not be left without witnesses. God's going to bring in these 11th hour workers to help finish his work. The story is told of a conference president who was holding a pastor's meeting, and each pastor was reporting on what God was doing in his church, in his district. One pastor stands up and says, Mr. President, and I want everyone to know that my church of 1,000 members, I have everyone working. Everyone working. Oh, friends, all the other pastors began saying, Amen, praise the Lord. 1,000 member church and everyone working. The pastor says, yeah, half of them are working for God and the other half working for the devil. But they're all working. No, my friends, God wants you to preach this everlasting gospel. God wants me to preach this everlasting gospel. But friends, listen carefully, and with this I wrap it up. If you don't want to preach this everlasting gospel, that's all right. God will never be left in his church without witnesses. God will bring in these 11th hour workers from every nation, every tribe, every kindred, and every people. Because God wants his work finished. God wants his work finished. And it's his work. It's not mine. Let us bow our heads as we pray. Oh God, this morning, we want to thank you because you've called us into your church. And dear Lord, we would ask that you would please forgive us where we have been negligent in not doing everything you've wanted us to do. Oh God, bless this church. Bless the pastor and his dear wife in this church. Bless the church board. Bless each young person. Bless each child. Bless each church member. Bless each visitor, oh God. And oh Lord, we can see how you're bringing in 11th hour workers, even in here to this church, because you want this work finished. You want it finalized. And dear Lord, forgive us because we haven't finished this work. But we know, oh God, that through these 11th hour workers, they will help us finish this work. Thank you so much. Be with us, oh God. We ask it in the precious, loving, and powerful name of Jesus. Amen.